And now it's time for the TOT Cast with your hosts, Chris Okranitz and Ryan Greco.
And welcome to the TOT Cast here on the Fansided Network. I am your host, Ryan Greco, and I'm joined by my co-host today, Chris Okranitz. Always be sure that you can hit us up on Twitter at Tip of the Tower. You can also reach me personally at Ryan Greco 416. You can reach Chris Okranitz at Chris Okranitz. And always be sure to like our Facebook page. And today we have a very special guest co-host. It is the Toronto Argonauts' very own wide receiver, Nate Ejay. How are you doing? Welcome to the cast.
I'm doing phenomenal, Ryan. I'm excited to be here with you guys and ready to get this thing rolling.
Now, Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. I'm excited to be in studio here with Nate Ejay. It's a pleasure to have him to take some time to speak with us.
And I know for a fact that it's been a long day for all of us here in the studio. We're actually we're recording this on a Wednesday nights here in the beautiful city of Toronto, and we're all starting to see a couple of heavy eyes. We've got the War Eagles' number one fan right here in the backdrop,
Alex
Williams. So who wants to get this ball rolling today? Because I think it's a very special occasion now that we have Nate and Alex present. So, Chris, your thoughts on whatever it is that you want to start off the show with?
Well, I thought we'd get started here with the Raptors since they're on a 4-0 start, about to kick off this road trip with their big W in Dallas last night. And now they're in Oklahoma City tonight. The game's currently going on, so don't mind us if we are unsure of the result that happens. But
they lost.
Is it over?
No, it's still going on.
No, I know it's going on. I'm making the prediction they lost. I'm assuming they're going to lose.
You never know, man.
You never
they might
know,
keep
man.
It going. But, I mean, they're off to a real hot start right now. 4-0, playing some better ball. You guys' thoughts on the season so far? It's been interesting. It's been nice to see JV kind of get out there.
Mm-hmm.
Lowry's playing better. Kind of had a rough night last night, but he picked it up down the stretch, which seems to be a theme for him now.
Right.
Big second halves. What do you guys think about it?
You know, I've watched every game this year, and one of the things I noticed from last year is their defense has picked up tremendously. They got legit stoppers, like, you know, Demarre Carroll was a big offseason addition, and, you know, mm-hmm. he's coming in, and you could see, I was watching the Pacers game, and Paul George could not get his game going because Demarre Carroll was all over him. So that's one of the biggest things I've seen. JV's obviously matured playing Euroball. He's, you know, he's confident, he's demanding the ball, which is big for a center, and he's delivering, so he's giving his teammates confidence in him. Lowry, he's doing his thing. He's commanding the offense. DeRozan's going to be solid, give you, 20-21 points per game. And, you know, another big thing I noticed is Scola. Man, that guy could ball. I saw him a little bit in the
spacing.
I saw him a little bit in the FIBAs. The guy is a, you know, European legend. And to have some veteran leader like that and, you know, who has savvy, who could score inside out, you know, it's big for this team. You know, it remains to be seen how far they can go, but it's definitely promising. Ryan?
Settle down over there, Nate. You're trying to take our jobs from us here. With all of that analysis and opinions.
It's interesting, man. It's very interesting watching this team, especially being a fan of them. It's a promising one for sure.
Absolutely. And I think building on what you're saying, Nate, this team is definitely – well, first off, they made history. 4-0, never happened before. And was it 21 seasons now for the Toronto Raptors? Now, I don't know if that's – a thing to be proud of, per se? Does it just kind of speak to the futility of the franchise as a whole when it comes to their performances on the court? But, I mean, that's neither for here or there to say. But I would say that based off of everything I've seen so far with this team is it definitely looks like a group that's very they like each other. They like each other. You can tell, like, from the first day, they brought in nothing but good character guys. Everybody here wants to be a part of something special. They saw the success the Raptors had in the regular season last year, franchise record 49 wins. They've started off this year with a franchise record 4-0. They're definitely on the right track, and I'm very curious to see how it's going to be handled in Oklahoma City, how they're going to be able to continue with this momentum when this cast airs, what the result will be. Because, you know, if there's ever going to be a test, now's the test for these guys to go up against Westbrook and Durant when these guys are so happy to be together once again after all the troubles Durant had last year. So, I mean, there's a lot of interesting things to kick off the NBA season for once.
You know, something interesting I found that you brought up there, Ryan, was how you said this team likes each other. Both you guys have played pro sports. they're kind of kicking off a long road trip here, and the road is kind of seen as a place where teams come together. They bond, they do all that. Do you guys think this early season road trip is going to help the team build some camaraderie and chemistry even more?
Absolutely. I mean, speaking from experience, anytime you have a big trip, to the West Coast, it definitely builds, camaraderie. You're not at home. Guys after practice don't just go home. They're forced to hang around each other. So, you're forced to kind of be around each other and get to know each other just a little bit more than you would if you were at home. And, it brings you together. You get on the court, you're able to, trust guys a little bit more. You're able to, play for each other a little bit more. So, it never hurts going on a West Coast trip. If it builds, the team camaraderie a little bit for later in the season, then I'm all for it. I'm excited to see what comes out of this.
Well, first things first, Nate has played real professional sports. I just want to make that clear to our listeners.
It sounded cool when Chris said it, though.
Yeah. Oh my God. I was sitting there. Paid. I was like, both you guys. I'm like, wait, Alex.
Wait. But first, how do you describe someone who's played professional sports? Like, what does it take to play professional sports? Like you just get paid, or like what goes into it?
Well, I'll put it this way: when I was playing quote unquote professional sports, I was playing in the Pecos League. For anybody that would want to know, the Pecos League, I played professional baseball. Well, like I said, quote unquote. For anyone who's ever seen that show, it was literally called the Pecos League, and it just followed around this independent baseball team that plays in the Pecos League, and they. It just kind of showed you how Bush League it was, to be perfectly honest. And that's exactly what I experienced. So the idea of actually getting paid, I lost money.
I don't think that's professional.
Staying down there. They called it a professional league. And they did technically give me money. However, I had to save up to go down there. All it really felt like was a glorified baseball vacation, to be perfectly honest.
Well, since you said it's kind of like Bull Durham by the sounds of it.
No. Bull Durham had it nice. Let me make that clear right now.
Man. I mean, guys love to play pranks on the road.
Right.
You got any good prank stories to tell you about road trips?
Good prank stories.
I got a few.
Football is not really a game of pranks like that. It's almost like, because it's not like that much downtime. Like, baseball would be a great prank sport, but football, not so much. But, I'm not going to say any names or anything, but I've seen guys kind of, take the icy hot and, kind of prank guys by either putting in their jock straps or putting it behind their helmet.
That's just mean. That
is mean, but, you have to do something serious to deserve that, but... If they put it behind your helmet, that's almost the worst, because you don't know what's happening. You almost think it's almost a sensation. You almost think you're sick. You think, man, what's going on behind my head? And then you rub the back of your head. So I'll explain it a little bit better. So the prank goes: guys will take icy hot.
Okay, hold on. Before you continue, but is there any way you can try and elaborate what said person did to deserve icy hot?
Well, yeah, it was literally the guy was literally the kind of the team bully. So, like, he sees you, he'll kind of trip you or he'll pinch you. And I just remember this guy just getting fed up. It's like, man, I'm going to get him. Because this other guy was the kind of guy that would steal your phone and put, like, inappropriate pictures as your, display picture.
Oh, no.
Or text your girlfriend something, like, really inappropriate. Oh, like, I'm going to go see another girl. Or, something to get you in trouble something you have to really explain, right? So that's the kind of guy that was...
Guys, lock your phones out there in the locker room. Jeez.
Right. So when this prank goes, the guy would... He'd grab some icy hot and, put it in the back of your helmet, right? So you wouldn't see it. You'd grab your helmet, getting ready to go to practice, put your helmet on, and then, midway through practice, you'll start to feel those little sensations in the back of your neck, and you don't know where it's coming from or how it got there. You'll rub your head, but by that time, there'll be sweat on your neck. So, like, it all just, like, meshed together, and you have no idea what's going on. That's almost the worst one, because there's nothing you could do about it.
That sounds like...
It's not fun.
No.
It's not fun.
No, it's not.
But before we delve too far off into pranks and icy hot stories about your neck, what did you guys think about Terrence Ross? He got a new 3-year, 1-year plus option afterwards, contract extension. So 3 years, $33 million plus an option. What did you guys think about
You know, and that's honestly to lead into what Nate was saying. When you're on the road and you're, you know, you're hanging out with everybody, with everybody like that in that intimate relationship, you can almost imagine that every now and then contracts and money must be brought up, right?
I think that's normal.
I think so too. Like, I don't know, Nate, what did you think about something like that? Is that something that's ever discussed?
Yeah. Like
someone help me out here. I'm trying to figure out the right way to say it.
Well, a guy like Terrence Ross gets 11 mil.
So I'm
DeRozan, and I'm getting 10 mil right now. Contract year coming up.
Right.
If T. Ross is worth 11, what am I going to get? There's things like that coming
up. That's human nature. You know, obviously, you see a guy get a new contract, and then you immediately think, well, how does this relate to me? How does, you know, he's the kind of player, you see him as this kind of player, and then you immediately compare yourself for him to yourself. And so you see that, you know, he's getting paid this amount, X amount, and then you start to do the math. Well, he could do this, this, and this, but I could do this, and this, and this. So, you know, maybe I deserve, you know, X amount more than him. That's human nature for sure. Guys are thinking about that. DeRozan, he's probably talking to some of his best friends on teams that he knows that, you know, things won't really get out and cause a rift. He's like, man, do you see that new deal? You know, I'm going to get paid, right? So, you know, people talk all the time, you know. And you don't obviously do it to maliciously, but, like, when you have, you know, some of your best friends on a team, you'll definitely have, like, you know, talks with them. And I bet you any money DeRozan's talking to his agent. His agent's probably hitting him up like, you know, DeMar, you see this? You're going to get paid this summer.
What'd you see what Boogie tweeted out? DeMarcus Cousins? He said, yes. Well, if he's getting that.
Right.
Boogie's got to kind of mind his own business a little bit now. Right. Everybody's getting a new deal. He forgets that it's the new TV contracts kicking in and everybody's getting paid.
Right.
Who was it that he said about that?
He said it literally about everybody. I mean, he said about Terrence Ross. Anybody who's got a contract recently that's
Tristan Thompson, that's who it was. I'm trying to rack through my brain,
He cooked Tristan Thompson. He just said if he's that... I don't know what the hell I'm worth.
He's just speaking his mind. I mean, you know, he probably doesn't understand the logistics that the salary cap is going up, TV money coming in. You know, with that being said, you know, it's human nature. Guys put in a lot of work to get to the position they're in, and they just want to see their efforts being compensated for. And if you see a guy that is doing less than you are, you know, you kind of take it to heart that he's getting paid more than you are because you almost see it as unfair and not just so. With Boogie speaking his mind out, I understand where he's coming from, and it's human nature. But sometimes you got to keep that stuff in-house because, you know, he's going to get his time. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
Of course. So is Terrence Ross worth this contract, or are the Raptors severely overpay here?
Well, I think just based off of everything that we've seen, the production from Terrence Ross over the last few years since he came into the league, it really just looks like it's a combination of them banking on his potential because he still is only about 24 years old right now?
Yeah, third year in the league.
Third year in the league. So he isn't exactly what he will become just yet. He still has a little bit of that potential, but, I mean, the clock's ticking. Like, we'll know by the end of the year what he really is. And I think a lot of the other half, and I think the most major part, touching on what you both were discussing earlier, is the contracts, the salary cap's going up. You can spend money like that on guys that you've invested all these years into. You know, they've given him chance after chance in the sense of whether it's the starting lineup, the touches on the ball. He's shown flashes of brilliance at times. Every article I've read the last 2 days, 3 days, about him re-signing or was he going to get an extension or all of these sort of things, they always bring up the 51-point game. But then they also bring up the fact that, you know, he was an afterthought on the team last year when everyone expected him to blow up.
Right.
Now, with that being said, now the guys who are generally going to take the touches away from him are now off the team. Mm-hmm. It shows that they have definitely taken that investment to heart when it comes to Terrence Ross, because you have Lou Williams gone now, you have Grievous Vasquez, and those were shoot-first guys who were quote-unquote point guards. Mm-hmm. I don't really believe either one of them were really point guards in the way that they were, basically the amount of points they were even scoring. But I say all that to say this. At the end of the day, is Ross worth it? We don't know right now. We're going to find out by the end of the year, at the earliest.
I like that, Ryan. And, I mean, to kind of piggyback off that, we all know what kind of GM Masai Ujiri is. You know, we know him as a guy that, you know, doesn't overpay for players, doesn't, you know, understands what kind of talent guys have. And, you know, he has a proven track record. And I'll go with Masai. You know, I believe in him. You know, all his moves he's made, you know, have proven to work out. And if he's made a bad move, such as maybe Lou Will, they aren't back. So, you know, I trust in Masai, and you know, with this, with that being said, this deal is we're gonna find out very very shortly that it's gonna pay off. I'm banking on it paying off, and you know, I'm riding with Masai.
Yo, I got a quick question for both of you, actually. Who's a better fit for this team, Corey Joseph or Lou Williams, Chris?
Corey Joseph is not even a question.
Not a question.
Yeah,
it's not a question. It's in basketball. You
despite
need guys.
Despite winning Sixth Man of the Year,
yeah, no.
Corey Joe's still and a guy. Corey Joe's a guy who's never averaged more than 5 points or four assists.
Yeah,
in a
no,
game.
No,
yeah, it doesn't matter. Still
doesn't
a better
matter.
Fit. All
yeah.
around.
I agree with Chris.
Facilitator
you know.
Too. I mean, right. he does what you want out of second unit guard. Right. I don't need you to heave up 12, 13 shots off the bench.
And also, have you seen Lou Will play defense?
Like I'm still waiting to see it, by the way.
He literally gives up as much points as he scores for you. And you know,
Bradley
Beal
will tell
year,
you all about that.
Sixth Man of the Year is all – it's almost a popularity contest. People see him putting up shots, putting up numbers, you know, scoring points, but they don't see the little things that a guy does, you know, spacing the floor, spreading the ball around, coming up and providing leadership. You know, you don't see stuff like that, and that's something that Corey Joseph is going to provide this team. And, you know, in playoff time, that's going to take you a lot further than – you know, a guy coming in and scoring, you know, 10 points in 13 minutes, but also giving up his fair share as well. So, you know, Chris?
No, I'd agree. I mean, I hate to backtrack a bit here, but something else to keep in mind with Terrence Ross and Masai Ujiri is Masai Ujiri is not afraid to trade players he just recently signed.
Right.
When he signed Nene in Denver and he kind of realized it was a botched deal,
mm-hmm.
he traded him out of Denver faster than he could even sign on the dotted line.
Right.
So if Ross doesn't work out here, I think for as much as it's about signing him, it's also about controlling him.
Mm-hmm.
It's an asset now. It's a contract that with the salary cap going up, he can move at any time because financially it's a lot easier for them to juggle and match numbers with.
Mm-hmm.
For what Ross was making before the $3 million, it's hard to move that because teams that are in tight cap space that don't have the bird rights like the Raptors do with him, they couldn't sign him. Or teams now that are trying to fill out cap space, they can afford to take on a guy like Ross because it helps them reach the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the contract with him, it helps in two ways. It helps controllability, and it also helps in terms of their bench depth right now because,
right.
like you guys were saying,
that's a big
who thing. Knows what the ceiling is.
That's a big point of the bench depth. Like, if Terrence Ross isn't signed past this year, who's going to take those shots that are now left open from Grievous and Lou Will leaving? So I feel like you know they're banking on his potential, but they also know that he's going to have a huge opportunity this year to prove himself. You know, he's the number one, almost a sixth man this year coming off the bench. He's going to be counted on to lead that second unit, you know, in points and production. In terms of Terrence Ross, he plays defense and he understands how to position himself to, you know, be a stopper.
Well, even worst case scenario, before all the cap holes next year, before all of that, they're going to have a lot of cap space to work with here for next summer. Let's say they let everybody walk, DeRozan, Scola,
yeah.
the whole nine yards. They're going to have about $16 million in cap space to work with in the offseason, and that's just at the minimum cap floor. Add in the bird rights, add in all the things that they can have some flexibility with. And is Ross's contract really that bad then? Because like you're saying, he's an okay defender, off the ball, on the ball, kind of just taking out guys in the playoffs. Like Ryan's saying, he still hasn't hit his potential, so we have him for a little bit longer, and we have some money still. So is this really bad? I don't think so. I think I kind of agree with you, too, that it's a fair deal for where he's at in his career.
Yeah.
All right, moving on now, gentlemen. We'll stay within the organization, though. Recently, the Raptors affiliate, their NBDL affiliate, brand new, team hasn't even started a season yet, Raptors 905 playing out of the Hershey Center in our very own Mississauga. They released their jersey today, their home and aways. It's kind of, in my opinion, a mishmash between a house league jersey and a soccer jersey without,
you're not a big
without
fan,
sleeves.
Huh?
That's honest to God, my opinion. Your thoughts, gentlemen. What do you think?
I'm looking at it right now. And
dude, it's a mix-up between a Vancouver Grizzlies jersey with a Man U logo EPL
see.
In the
front. Yeah, no, I understand that, you know, but... You know, I'm just thankful we have an NBDL team.
Oh, you're gonna go that route.
Great idea.
I'm just thankful we have a team.
Let's just make it clear. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I'm going to go to a few games.
I'm going to go to a few games, too. And, you know, I mean.
But that's like, come on. We really.
Are we really complaining about jerseys, though?
Does anybody here even bank with BMO?
No.
I do.
I don't.
Well, I have negatives in that account, but I mean, I still technically bank with them.
All jerseys size, I mean, like. what's the big deal? I mean, it's about the product on the court. Georgie's could be horrible, but as long as, you know, we have a product on the court that we can, you know, look forward to, I'm not mad about that.
Honestly, my whole beef to even begin with was, why didn't they just call the Toronto Huskies?
They could, but the team's in Mississauga.
Call it the Mississauga Huskies then.
No, they're saving that for select days where they can bring that jersey back like they did a few years ago. You think they're actually gonna bring it back though?
We yet to see.
No, not full time. I think they'll have
a retro
night like they did with the purple Jurassic Park jerseys this year. And
I don't know. I mean, it just seems like a bit of a wasted potential, but. You know, I don't know. A few media people were talking about that when the team first came out. I just don't understand.
What's the general consensus right now, though? What's most people thinking right now?
It's a weird name, Raptors 905, but people are. From what I've talked to is that it's easier. I know personally, it's easier for me to say each time. I just think it's a mouthful for a team that, like, you don't even have the city's name in it. It's just Raptors 905.
But they're going with that whole the six theme. You know what I mean? The 416. You know what I mean? So. You know, Drake started this whole thing of
Can we all agree? Yeah, I was about to thank you, Chris.
It's Scarborough. It's not the six. It's Toronto. I know there's six boroughs. Yeah. Don't you think it's just Scarborough?
Yeah. I rep the four, okay?
Yeah. It is what it is, but they're just going to hold that whole new, you know, the whole new theme to try to piggyback off the six. So it makes sense.
I think that people are going to call them just the 905 eventually instead of just Raptors 905. It would just be, 905's playing.
Right. 905. I'm not mad about that. I'm from Mississauga.
I can live with that.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that you're from Mississauga. You know, we got you in studio.
Yeah.
So why don't we ask you a little bit about the Argos and what's going on there?
Oh, we can do that.
Talking some Argos?
I can talk some Argos all day.
So you guys are gearing up for a playoff run.
Yeah.
Friday night's the last game of the season. And not only that, it's the last game ever to be played at the Sky Dome.
Man.
What's that like?
To think about it, it's kind of surreal, man. Like, you know, you grow up going to games. The Rogers Center or Sky Dome, like it was in the past, is very synonymous with the Argonauts brand. You know, it's one of the whole atmosphere is derailed in the recent history because of, you know, changing ownerships and, you know, fans are not coming out as much. But, you know, it's just surreal to think about that it's actually the last game. I mean, not too many people are going to miss it. Because, you know, we haven't had a lot of success.
It's pretty empty in there.
It's pretty empty, Access at the gates.
Despite multiple great cups in the last couple of years.
Yeah, you know, when that place is full, it's rocking. But, you know, lately, you know, we haven't had the most fan attendance to come to the game. So it hasn't been as rocking as it could be. But
why do you think people don't go to the games, though?
I just think it's a big city. You know, Toronto's a big city. There's a lot to do.
So we have that Miami complex.
Yeah, we have that Miami complex. But the thing about, you know, what we're missing is back in the day when Gretzky and John Candy owned the team, you know, they were pushing it, man. Everywhere you went, you know, they're marketing players. They made it like a cool atmosphere to, you know, the thing to do to go to the Argonaut game. But now it's not really like that. Unless you really like football, you're not going to Argonaut game because, you know, you're not seeing commercials. You're not seeing players in the, you know, being hyped up by the, you know, local media and stuff like that.
It's true. Me and Ryan, we kind of felt like it was just a notch on MLSE's belt.
Yeah.
I remember Ryan was saying that earlier. He wrote something about that, actually.
Yeah, it's like, well, look what we got. And also, to be fair to that marketing group that they had back in the mid-90s, they also had stars. They were able to recruit Ismael Rogers. He was on the team.
Yeah.
Pinball Clemens, who's turned out to be one of the most most brilliant marketing personalities I have seen come out of Toronto
ever.
He's an American.
Yeah.
He was born an American. He came here as a professional football player.
Yep.
And he stayed and ingrained himself so much into the city landscape.
Yeah, he's Canadian now.
I know. He's officially a Canadian citizen. Now, not only that, though, like, he's made himself such a part of the city that when you think Pinball Clemens, you don't even necessarily think football anymore. You just think that's
the man, pinball, that's the myth, Mike the legend.
Clemens. Exactly. Right. That's Mike Clemens. He was a guy that we actually ran into playing pickup basketball at the Hershey Center a few years ago. And just that
nicest
kind of
man on earth,
nicest.
Man.
Dude, he's completely approachable. One of the nicest people I've personally ever met, especially somebody with that kind of level.
It's crazy. Like, when you meet a guy like that and so important and so accomplished, you know, you think, man, it's a pleasure to meet this a guy like that. But he makes you feel like you're the most important person he's met all day.
Absolutely.
And that's a testament to his character. And, you know, there's not enough can be said about him. He's just a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
And I'm blessed that he's part of our organization and pushing us. But, you know, back to the Rogers Center point, you know, we are going to be sad to be leaving, but, you know, we're going to a good place. BMO, I took a tour a couple of weeks ago with some of my teammates, and, you know, what they're building there is going to be truly special, and the fan experience is going to be top-notch. They, you know, the new owners, they're planning to make the Argo the Dallas Cowboys of the CFL, and that those were their words. They're trying to make this a destination spot for free agents, you know, and fans around the league. So, you know, look forward to big things coming out of BMO. You know, you're going to miss the Rogers Center, but, you know, BMO Field is going to be our new home and some a place we can, you know, call an actual home.
Well, you say the Dallas Cowboys of the CFL. What did they use to kind of showcase it and show it off to say it's going to be like Jerry's World? Having been to Jerry's World,
yeah,
that's the Taj Mahal of football. It's something else.
Yeah, you know, obviously it can't be to that level because, you know, they're putting billions of dollars into Jerry's World. But, you know, they're doing as much as they can with what we have. So
what are they
doing?
So
what you can compare that to, you can compare what CFL teams have, and they're trying to be the best in the CFL.
So for a lot of us that don't follow CFL too heavily, can you kind of enlighten us on the kind of things you're talking about here?
So, you know, we're going to be playing on natural grass now. The field is heated. So when it gets cold, you know, the crowd, the playing field won't be really affected. You know, it'll be heated. The fans will be covered, you know, since we're outdoors, they'll be covered in case of inclement weather. We're going to have tailgating. They're going to have tailgating for the first time since, you know, the Argos moved to.
Dry tailgate or?
Anything you want tailgate.
Are you sure?
Anything you want tailgate. You know, and one thing the owners are doing, they're polling the players to find out what is going to make this the best for us and for the fans. So, you know, players are coming up with ideas, you know, that we've seen at other places and that we know are great ideas. So, you know, we're just trying to make this the best experience for everybody that's involved.
I just want an ownership that's invested in these guys, from what I've seen. Yeah. It's honestly, like, at the end of the day, you guys have came out. It's the oldest franchise in North American sports. And it seemed like for a very long time that even ownership wasn't interested in
the
team.
That's a good point, yeah.
Which is sad. It's very sad because it's that storied.
Yeah.
And all I really want to see, even though, as I've said before, I really did think it's just another notch in the belt for MLSC, but we've seen how MLSC treats their players. And as far as performance goes, it's been sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to amenities, mm-hmm. when it comes to putting together a great presentation, mm-hmm. something MLSC knows, they may not know the sports part that great, but they certainly know the entertainment.
Oh, and I agree with that. One thing I can add is the ownership group that is involved with our team is amazing. Like, we've met these guys, they're visible, and, you know, I can tell you from firsthand experience, I haven't seen our old owner one time. Like, and I'm not, no shots at him, I haven't met him, but even for team pitcher days, I haven't seen this guy. So, with that being said, we just got new owners. I've seen these guys more times than I've seen, like, some of my own family members. So they're visible, they're around, and they want to put the best product out there. And, you know, there's no more exciting time than it is now to be at Argo. That's honestly speaking. I had teammates that have been Argos for a long time. And, you know, we've obviously had some shortcomings in the past, which, you know, we don't really need to get into. But, you know, they've said that, you know, with this new ownership group, they can feel the energy. They can feel what we're about to have. And, you know, we're, like our GM said, we're going from the have-nots to the haves, and it's happening very quickly.
That's pretty bold for you guys to go from, well, at least for them to say that you're going from the have-nots to the haves.
Yeah.
It's funny you said that they're going to take into player consideration or take, like, what players say into consideration for things like, let's say, the locker room.
Right.
Right now in the Rogers Center. having been there underneath in the locker rooms, you guys don't touch the holy grail that is the Blue Jays locker room. A lot of people don't know that. You guys don't use that. You use the visiting team's locker room.
Right.
Have you got a chance to see the new locker room you'll be walking into at BMO?
Actually, I have. We took a tour, like I said, 2 weeks ago,
And, you know, it's still under construction. They haven't been able to, you know, fully get into it because TFC was playing. But, you know, we saw the site that, you know, the new locker room is going to be on. And, you know, they're very excited about it. They want to make it as player-friendly as possible. And as a player, that's all you can ask for. You know, an ownership group that cares about you and that wants to cater to you. And they just want to treat us like the professional athletes that we are. They want to give us everything we need. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's just a...
Not like the Pecos League.
No. And that's a welcoming sight, man. I tell you, it's very exciting time. Like I said, like, what a time to be alive.
To be alive. Speaking of player personnel, anyone who's been following the CFL knows that Ricky Ray was out for a considerable time this season. And Trevor Harris has done an outstanding job keeping you guys in the playoff picture throughout the entire season. And so with Ricky Ray now back in the fold, I mean, this is a guy who won a great cup for the Argos.
Yeah.
You know, he's there. He's the bona fide starter. And I've always...
Hall of Famer, too. Very true.
And one of the things that I've always known from football, unless you're coached by Jim Harbaugh, is that you don't lose your job to injury.
Right.
You're given the opportunity to come back and prove, even if the backup has performed as well as they have.
Right.
For the most part. For the most part. Obviously, there's exceptions, right?
Yeah.
But speaking on that, Ricky Ray and Trevor Harris, being a guy on the inside and seeing the locker room, how is their relationship? Is there any real controversy, or is it, or is everybody on the same page?
There is zero controversy at all. Like, when, you know, obviously Ricky's a Hall of Famer, and when Trevor first, you know, got the job as a starter due to Ricky Ray being out, you know, he accepted the role, but he knew full well that once Ricky came back, it was kind of, you know, his job, Ricky's job, right? They work really well together, Trevor and Ricky. You know, you can see the meetings, you know, they ask questions back and forth. They kind of, you know, talk to each other just about the game plan. And, you know, they're always together. I mean, you know, you see them eating dinner, like, on the road and stuff like that. So they're... You know, they have an interesting relationship where, you know, they're pretty tight, and, you know, the situation wasn't going to, you know, put any rift between them at all. And I feel like it's only made them stronger, to be honest with you. So, yeah, and, you know, with that being said, Trevor, he's one of the best guys I've ever met. Like, this guy is, you know, he's a religious guy, you know, he's a team guy, and he's a guy that's willing to do whatever it takes for the team to be successful. So... if that means him being a backup now, he's fully ready to accept that role and just do whatever it takes for us to win. And one thing that, you know, stood out to me when Trevor first took the job, he was like, I just want to be the best backup quarterback in the history for this team. And that spoke very, very honestly about the kind of guy he is. And, you know, yeah, I was very impressed by the way he came in and took over and, you know, led us to where we are now. You know, it takes a special guy. And he's been the same person the whole time. So it's guys like that that help teams, you know, be successful.
So a lot of times with Ricky Ray in the offense or Trevor Harris when he was out, they're going no huddle. We're going to do a little thing here we need to tell you where we like to go no huddle ourselves and play a little game where we just shoot off a bunch of rapid-fire questions at you. You cool with that?
Yeah, game. Let's go.
All right, jumping right into it here on a first down. Best dressed player on the team?
That's a good question. And I'd have to give that to two people, Andre Dury and Chad Owens. You know, they're best friends, and they've really taken up the fashion thing. And actually, more Andre than Chad, but I'd have to give it to both of them, if you don't mind.
No, that's cool with me. Best road city to play in?
I would have to say, that's a good question. I have to say Vancouver is the best real city to play in, just because of the sites that you can go see. Some of the best restaurants are out there. You know, it's a really cool vibe that's over there at the West Coast. And, you know, there's nothing like it. You know, there are mountains. It's the only place where you can go skiing in one day and go to the beach in the same day. So... I'd say Vancouver is probably the number one city in other than Toronto to play in.
Scenery and city aside, best chirp you've ever heard from an opposing fan? I know the Riders fans can get a little crazy, so what's the best chirp you ever heard?
Man, there have been some good chirps this year. the Riders have some great fans, and the fans that get on us,
No. Before I get into the chirp, a funny situation with the Riders this year, we were down big time, and they had this one drunk guy that was, you know, so loud, just yelling chirps at our receivers, saying we couldn't do anything. And then late in the game, we come back, we end up winning the game. That guy was quiet as a mouse, you know, you didn't hear a peep from him. And all the receivers just looked at him like, what now? Oh my gosh. It was a great moment. But a funny chirp.
Anything stand out?
Yeah, a lot stand out, but you know, the best chirps they can't be said on air.
Well, I'll tell you guys. Four letter word. Instead of the actual,
you yeah, four letter no, words.
It just
you stupid it was, four
it was
letter
just a
words.
Fan making yeah, fun go. Of it was a fan making fun of one of the people that, you know, was affiliated with our team. One of their were facial features. I'll leave it at that.
All right, here I'm gonna throw a couple more questions at you that are a little more personal per se. Places that are based off of your previous experience.
Yep.
Honolulu or San Francisco? You had time to spend at University of Hawaii and at San Francisco Community College.
Yeah.
Which city?
Ooh. I'd say if you were in a place for a long period of time, it'd be San Francisco. But if you were just visiting a spot, it'd be definitely be Honolulu for sure. But San Francisco, there's so much you could do. It's almost like BC, where it's just a multifaceted city. And you know, I'd say San Francisco just because of the how many things you can get into over there.
Favorite restaurant to eat in Toronto? Like your go-to?
Mm-hmm,
you got somebody to eat?
Come on, man. We all know Sunrise Caribbean food.
Yeah. I was going to say Sunrise.
Come on now. Hey, you want some of that curry goat and oxtail?
Man, hey, man, there's no place better to get oxtail than Sunrise, though. But that's a shameless plug. They'll love you for that one.
We want coupon Sunrise. Do you hear us now?
Copacabana?
You guys Copacabana, yeah. Quality.
A teammate of mine, Jonathan Hood, took me there because he knew the owner, man, and they really took care of me. So that's definitely a go-to spot. You know, I love what they have to offer there. And, you know, the whole presentation there is pretty nice, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I definitely know what you're saying.
Well done. Well said, gentlemen.
Here, we'll close it out. We'll pick up the tempo a little bit here. Really make it truly no huddle.
No huddle. All right, let's go.
Favorite route to run?
We'll call it a diagonal. So it's almost like a shorter post, but it takes you from one side of the field to the almost crossing the other side while you're gaining depth. It's my favorite route to run. I've caught a couple of those.
You still play with the tail pad? Wow, a lot of guys take it out.
No, I play with as minimal pads as possible. I don't even wear thigh pads or knee pads, to be honest.
No thigh pads, no knee pads. Not even the peewee thigh pads, the little ones.
No. I mean, this year they made a rule that made it mandatory, so my thigh pads are, you know, minimal.
Best piece of free equipment you've gotten so far from either Buffalo or Toronto or anywhere you've been?
Oh, that's easy. Buffalo is still giving me stuff, so I'd say gloves and cleats, you know, tools of the trade.
So I went on the road. Best hotel? Kind of recommendations?
The Hilton.
Yeah. You guys are fancy. You guys stay in the Hilton?
We stayed in the Hilton before, and I tell you what, if I could live there, I would.
Is that the MLSE budget, or is that the old owner budget?
You know, it's funny. It was the old budget.
Well, right on for him, then. That's a common name to the players.
I love the budget.
And that was the No Huddle with Toronto Argonauts wide receiver, Nate Ajay.
Booyah.
Moving forward, gentlemen, but we're staying on football, so we're gonna have some fun with this right now. The Buffalo Bills, Nate's namesake city, being a proud University of Buffalo alumni.
I practiced there a few times.
Even played in the Ralph.
I got a few friends that, you know, are on that team and played for that team. So
I kind of get the vibe you got some inside information on what's going on with Buffalo and Sexy Rexy's group.
Yeah, you can say that a bit.
So what is going on with the Bills, guys? I mean, coming off the bye here, they're beat up, they're injured, they're underachieving. People are starting to grow impatient with Rex Ryan. They're thinking his whole, we're going to get in here, we're going to bully you, we're going to run you over, is old, and it's just worn out, and the team is, quite frankly, on the verge of being in shambles.
Yeah, one thing that I've noticed from the Bills, and watching them a little bit this year, is their penalties. Like they've overnight turned to the Oakland Raiders. It's crazy.
Worse now.
They're taking so many penalties and it's just killing them. I feel like they need to be more disciplined, and that'll take them a long way.
Well, they're saying took the words right out of my mouth as far as the term undisciplined. And For the longest time, the New York Jets had that reputation when they were when Rex was there.
Yeah.
All it was just a whole lot of jaw popping, and there was almost nothing to back it up, save 1 or 2 years where they made it to the AFC Championship game. And I think it's also the most glaring mistake and the most glaring and the biggest sin that Rex Ryan has committed in his coaching career, in my opinion, is the fact that he always just seems to find a way to share a division with the Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's anywhere in any other division in football, everyone's has a lot more respect for him. Everyone has. If he coaches in any other division in football,
yeah,
as opposed to that dynasty that has been running roughshod on the league for the last 15 years, he would definitely have a little bit more sway in what he says, because at the end of the day, he's not a bad coach.
No.
He is not. He's a
defensive coach.
Yeah.
He's definitely not a bad defensive coach. And when he has defensive personnel, he definitely thrives.
And players like him, from what I've heard.
Players love him.
They love him. He's a player's coach.
He's a player's coach to the max.
Exactly. And I honestly still think there's plenty of time for him to be able to put it together in Buffalo. It's just, you know what? Sometimes when a guy is put in a situation where he knows he has the best defense in football, he's going to get a little ahead of himself. He's going to need the time to adjust and figure it out. I mean, Chris, what do you think?
Well, I mean, defensively, he's trying to get them to do things that doesn't really match up with his personnel. He's notorious for creating mismatches with the personnel he has in place. Dropping guys like Mario Williams and Jerry Hughes into coverage is not going to work. Jerry Hughes got cut from Indianapolis because he's not a 3-4 linebacker. He's not even a 3-4 D-end. He cannot play that. You can't ask him to play 3 or 5 technique and hold the C gap and basically be a gap holder. He's a pass rusher through and through. That's what he's there for. That's why he's making 9 to 10 mil a season.
Yeah,
getting him to like not do that is kind of creating problems.
Right,
and you're kind of putting guys in situations that they're not built to thrive in. It's kind of like M.D. Asamoah when he went to Philadelphia years ago. He was a press man corner.
Yeah.
That's all he could play. You're going to make him play zone. You're going to make him play off-man trail technique. He got scorched.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
And he's running into trouble right now with that he's getting these guys to do things that, quite frankly, they don't do. And when they do them, they don't do them well.
Right.
So it's putting them in a lot of precarious situations where how do you expect them to succeed when they've never done it before or they seldom do it?
Right. And that's just one situation of a coach not putting his players in the best position. But, you know, Rex is a guy that's been doing this for years. You know, he usually has stout defensive guys and guys that, you know, he can put in positions to succeed. And for some reason or another, that's not happening right now. I'm sure he'll get it figured out. They had a bye week to get things ironed out. I kind of saw a reporter, Martin Williams, speaking out a bit. And I'm sure they'll get it ironed out. And you'll see a better team coming up. You know, I'm confident that they got so much talent on that team, and you know it is a long year, but I have a feeling they'll figure it out. Like Ryan said, I mean, it's not good being in a division with Tom Brady. He's almost guaranteed to win that division. So right now they just got to find a way to get on a little roll, get some guys back healthy, and get going. You know what I mean? Because this football doesn't wait for anybody.
Now, going from coaching now to basically the second coach, the coach on the field, I guess you could say, and the quarterback, I'm a casual fan of the NFL. I know enough about football and enough about sports to know who's good, who's bad, when a situation is good, and when a situation can get ugly for whatever team it is. I don't try and claim to be a football guru. However, I say that to say this. When I first heard of Tyrod Taylor being named the starting quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, the first thought in my head was, who?
Right.
I had no idea who this guy was whatsoever.
Right.
All I had heard was a few snippets on ESPN about how he's been bouncing around in the league as a backup quarterback, seeing different systems and sets. And then he started playing. And what we saw in him was a guy who, basically what we were talking about off air with you, Nate, is the fact that he really approaches every situation wanting to be the best. Now, it's one thing to say that. You hear that phrase and that statement thrown around a lot in professional sports. But we also all here, everybody in this room knows a couple of people in their lives who have all the talent, but they enjoy speaking to a point that we were all discussing earlier. They enjoy the benefits that come with their talent as opposed to enjoying the hard work that comes to being talented.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right.
Given that, this QB dilemma that the Buffalo Bills now face between Tyrod Taylor and EJ Manuel, let's say, walk some of our listeners through what that situation and scenario is like on an NFL team or a professional football team.
Right.
And what's at stake for both of these gentlemen and what they should be expecting of themselves.
Right. Right now, I mean, it's not really a QB dilemma per se. Tyrod Taylor is the guy. You know, he won the job.
Absolutely.
Out of camp. And he's a guy for a reason. And, like, for some of the reasons you said, this guy's a tireless worker. You know, I've, you know, come across some guys on my team that have, you know, trained with him in the offseason. And they all say the same thing about him. You know, this guy wants to be the best at everything he does. I can recount a story where, you know, guys have two-a-day workouts before the season training in Arizona. And in between workouts, Tyrod would go off and do a third workout. No, so he was pretty much doing 3 days. And the trainer there was getting mad at him because he's like, man, you're gonna ruin the what I have going on. But that just shows to show you how great this guy wants to be. And, you know, talking to guys that have, you know, been around him, and they're not surprised. No, they're not surprised at all that this guy's a, you know, starting quarterback and he's doing some of the things he's doing this year.
You know it's bad when you've got a football instructor mad at you because
right,
he's
you
working
do
too
more.
Hard.
Right.
You know
right.
he's got something going on.
Because football
there.
Guys, you know, they work you to the ground, right?
Exactly.
So that just goes to show you the kind of guy that Tyrod Taylor is. And, you know, in contrary, you know, guys aren't really surprised that, you know, EJ is in the situation he's in. You know, guys that I've talked to, you know EJ and ask him, man, this guy's got, you know, the tools to be successful. Like, what's going on? And they're just like, man, that's just EJ, and that's what he's always been. I mean, he's kind of, you know, I don't want to, you know, expose too much, but he's kind of, you know, he's comfortable. I mean, he was a first round pick, right? He's a
guy
that
got his money on draft day, is what you're trying
right.
to say.
You know, he's always been the guy wherever he's been, right? And Tyrod, on the contrary to that, he's always been the guy that had to work for everything he had, right? Mm-hmm. So it's starting to show right now. And, you know, to say it's a dilemma, it's not really a dilemma. Once Tyrod gets healthy, he'll be back starting, and he'll continue to show why, you know, the Bills have so much faith in him and why it was so obvious that coming out of camp that he was the number one guy.
I think it's fair for you to say that briefly about EJ is that, you know, it may not so much be that he may just be, in a sense, you know, no one likes to make excuses for anybody else in this world, but he might just be a victim of his earlier success. And as you said, mm-hmm. the idea of him being comfortable is something it happens to a lot of
it
us.
Happens,
and it happens.
Yeah.
And it happens to every single person that right. has ever experienced life.
It's human nature.
Exactly.
For sure. And that's why, you know, the great ones in sports, it's actually special to see because they're the ones that, you know, really are comfortable but choose not to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
They have
like
a Tom Brady.
Like a Tom Brady, like a Peyton Manning. Anybody that's great in sports, you'll see that. So it's and then, you know, you guys will see that Tyrod is one of those guys from what I've heard from, you know, friends of mine that played with him or trained with him. So with that being said about all the QB controversy and, you know, the situation going on, what do you guys think is the likely outcome for the Bills this season? Do you see them being a playoff team? Do you see them, you know, being an 8-8 team? Or do you see them being an under 500 team and, you know, getting a good draft pick?
I'm just going to say it right now. I don't think they're making the playoffs. As a matter of fact, I don't even think they're a 500 team.
Wow.
I don't.
The AFC is wide open, eh? Just
it is.
It's 4-3 is pretty much 6 wild card right now. I mean, they're still in there. They got some life.
Yeah.
No, I could imagine that. They've always had this, I don't know what it is. Every year, they've always seemed to find a way to underachieve.
But new leadership this year, though. I know it's not. It seems like the same old Buffalo Bills, but
they've had some bad losses.
From the
though.
Guys like, I've talked to, the culture has really changed around there.
Well, here,
I hope so.
The
I mean, if they clean up their penalties and don't beat themselves like they have been all year,
right.
Like there's only been one time they've been outright beat, and that was by guess who? The Patriots.
Right.
So like,
well, are they better than these three teams? Are they better than the Jets? Are they better than the Raiders? And are they better than the Steelers? Because that's really who they're competing with.
I think all three of those teams have a chance to beat them out.
You talking about for
the wild card?
Yeah,
because
you got to think about it.
Right now,
New England's in.
I think all three of those teams have a legitimate chance because, and I'll explain why. Every single one of those teams can put points on the board without beating themselves.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Every single one of those teams, I have not seen it, especially as crazy as it sounds, Oakland looks like one of the most disciplined, driven teams out of that whole bunch over everything I've seen.
They've gone through a crazy turnaround.
Exactly. When Oakland makes mistakes, yeah. They don't make mistakes because of dumb penalties or stupid. They make mistakes for going for it.
Right.
Like, that's kind of my opinion
about that. Yeah. Jack Del Rio.
And Derek Carr and just Amari Cooper, of course. A certain
Khalil person. Mack. Don't forget Khalil Mack. UB plug.
Yeah. That's just my opinion. So, UB. Chris.
I think they got a pretty good shot, but it's still wide open in terms of that. They found a way to win with Michael Vick.
Sorry, I got to throw that in.
Pittsburgh didn't win with Michael Vick. They didn't do nothing.
They won a game with Michael Vick.
Landry Jones finished that game off throwing two touchdowns.
That was all Landry.
Vick was a train wreck.
I don't care what any of you say.
And now they got nothing. I mean, you look at those teams, they all got deficiencies. The Raiders take a lot of penalties, and Jack Del Rio, for as well as they're doing right now, their secondary is meh. He's notorious for giving up yards. They have one of the best run defense, one of the worst pass defenses. You look at the Steelers, they got injuries galore, no Le'Veon Bell. Defensively, can Ryan Shazier and company stay healthy as well to kind of keep up with it? I don't know. They're an interesting team. This weekend's game against Oakland is huge for them because they're at home and it's got wild card implications already. And then you look at the Jets, injuries too. Ryan Fitzpatrick, can he keep up with that thumb? Do you really want Geno Smith in there? I kind of think they're hoping somebody will punch him in the mouth and knock him out so they can kind of just keep going. Because when he's in there, you guys saw what it was on the weekend.
Oh, my God.
It was horrendous.
Right.
That guy.
So it's more of a war of attrition, in my opinion, than it is actually of them playing. That's a good point. They're that close.
The Jets have a lot of injuries, to be honest with you.
Yeah, a lot of DDD.
Brandon Marshall is dealing with a toe ankle. Eric Decker is dealing with a knee. Nick Mangold's day-to-day with a neck.
That's a big one, too.
Revis is dealing with a groin. Chris Ivory, you know, he's always banged up just because of his running style. They're dealing with a lot of injuries, and it's gonna remain to be seen how they're going to recover from that. And that team, when you have injuries like that, the next man has to step up.
Absolutely. And with that concludes this week's TOT Cast. I am your host, Ryan Greco, and along with our co-hosts, Chris O'Kranitz, and, of course, our special guest co-host, Natea J. Natea, thank you so much for coming on this week.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure, and I look forward to doing this more often, guys.
And with that, always be sure to hit us up on Twitter at Tip of the Tower. You can also reach me personally on Twitter at Ryan Greco 416. You can also always reach Chris at Chris O'Kranitz on Twitter. Natea, what is a Twitter handle they can reach out to you with?
You can reach me at TEY11_. That's once again TEY11_.
And with that, always be sure to like our Facebook page, Tip of the Tower. Thank you all very much for tuning in and listening to our cast this week. We will see you next week. Have a great night.
What a time to be alive.
Dab, dab.